اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و بهی نستعین انه خیر ناصر و معین. Today is 26th of February 2011. We are starting first session of Aql or Intellect, which is in the series of talk that we have started for Ziyarat Jama'ah, is session number 6. So I will keep this independent sessions even in the files that I make later on. Session number 6 of Ziyarat Jama'ah and number 1 of Intellect. And that what Dr. Muhammad also you spoke about in our Milad night about the concern. You said I have a concern and this. Inshallah, hopefully we will. I mean, within our talks, hope we can resolve. I mean, make it more clear. I thought about it after that, and I was thinking probably we talk more on that issue. But again, I thought. I mean, what we are talking is on the same line. We don't need to separate. That's one thing, and the other thing is we are starting, hopefully, inshallah, my methodology, if you like, is going to be during the tafsir of Ziyarat al-Jama'ah to introduce concepts. When I say introduce concepts, that means I refer to philosophical concepts or some theoretical concepts as a whole. And we have to start to accept from now, to accept probably time to time we get to more, to a bit of difficult, intellectually difficult sessions. So we should not give up. I'm just pre-warning. But I'm sure all of you are, mashallah, your intellects are so ready for it. But I'm only bringing it to your knowledge that you have to expect such a thing. And then we also, although, as per Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, the things that we read, if we make belief in them, if they become part of our belief, that goes to our heart, and action comes from heart. So, in terms of practicality of it is to see the world like that. When you see the world like that, that is practical. So, there is not such thing called nazari and amali. Everything is amali by heart. But however, we have to try to bring this. We should see the fruits are growing on the trees of Ma'arif. That is to make us more. It was interesting that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We want to talk about Aql today. Aql or intellect is one of those issues that if we understand the real meaning of it, it will lead us to a way towards knowing Ma'asumin alayhim as-salam much better than today what we know now. And the word Aql has got different meanings and connotations. I just go quickly through the literal meanings. Number one, the root of word Aql comes from Iqal. Iqal means in older days when they were using, probably even they do it now yet, yeah, still, when they are riding camels, when they want to hold camel somewhere, and there is a rope from the camel, they will turn it around some trees or something to hold the camel so that it doesn't go. That's called Iqal. Was that right? So, Iqal means something which holds you somewhere. Which has, in the higher level, interestingly, Aql will become like that, even in the way of worshipping. And there is another meaning of Aql, is intellect is mentioned, is it is a gharize, it's a faculty, basically. It's not a gharize, but they have written it gharize. It's a faculty by which insan is distinguished from animal and so from other creatures. That's another meaning for the Aql they have given. And they also have said Aql is a reasoning power by which nafs can understand, can distinguish between good and bad. And There is another meaning for intellect or aql, which is in books, it's been written in the books, that is part of that, part of the nafs, by which to nourishing and looking after. I mean, it's similar to the previous one. You can understand what is haram, what is halal, and istinbat, and drawing conclusions for your ahkam. That's also called aql. And also, literal meaning, they have said about it, referred to it, a faculty or a power in nafs by which you can, if you get a quick understanding and istinbat, and even if, and working your way out and working your life work, making your life work, that is, these are all called in the category of aql, they have given meaning of it. So I'm not very particular about this, I just wanted to say there might be other meaning for literal meanings of aql, which, as we have said in the beginning of quite a few times, that we have to broaden the meaning for the things that we already know. And aql should not be a goal for us in the meanings as well. So it should not keep us to few particular meanings. Now we see, you might remember that I have read you once the meaning of aql from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Have I read it before? Imam was mal aql. It was asked by Kumayl ibn Ziyad. Okay, we go to it today. One thing that we have to distinguish very clearly, which is a lot of confusion I have seen, a lot of people take it like that, I would say 80% of the people, 90% of the people confuse aql and thinking, which are very common mistake people make. Not only on philosophical terms, even in literal word, thinking and aql are two different things. Thinking is a process by which you go from unknown to known. Thinking is like a motion itself, a motion of aql. Movement of aql. I mean, I'm saying it's movement of aql in this way, that when you reach an unknown issue, and then what do? If you see this is a harakat by itself, that immediately your mind goes to, you don't know the answer to that. Your mind goes, let's say an example. You are told, very simple example. You have got a shop, or you have got a, garden of orange trees. And then you have got 100 orange trees. And in every orange tree, you get 545 oranges, and of which 10% usually you cannot sell. So how many do you know? How many oranges you can sell? This is very simple, a small example. So you don't immediately know the answer. You have to go to some known and ma'lumat, knowledge that you have. So you go to multiplication. Say, okay, I've got something. You can multiply the number of trees to the number of oranges, and then you make it percentage of 10%, you deduct it, and then you get the answer, yes, so many, like 5,655 oranges I'm going to get. So this is a motion of aql, or a motion that is happening, which is different from aql itself. So it is called thinking, or fikr. Do you call it fikr, Dr. Muhammad, in Arabic? Tafkir. Tafakkur. So what is tafkir?
If we want to do tafakkur, we think about it, and, probably the same.
Okay, never mind, sorry. So, this is the process of thinking, but by what I explained, you probably realize this is in ilmu husuli. Use of this motion is in ilmu husuli. We read in hadith N1 Basri that yaga'u al-ilmu yaga'u ala qalb. That means that happens quickly. suddenly. But what I just told you is not quickly and suddenly. This is going emotion and process. So basically, fiqh is in the realm of ilm husuli, not ilm huzuri. So that's one thing that we have to clarify for our understanding of aql and fiqh. Aql there is a principle that philosophers use. They say kullu mujarradin aqil wa kullu aqilin mujarrad. Please learn this. Kullu mujarradin aqilun wa kullu aqilin mujarradun. You understand? I wanted to go to the issue of to explain some vocabs for you. Probably I do it now. You all understand aql? Yes? Intellect? You all understand aql? What is aql?
The
intellectual, but yeah, the one who does, who intellectualize, right? Or uses his intellect. Remember, and you understand ma'ghul? What is ma'ghul? Is intellected. I have seen it. I mean, it might look like a common mistake. I mean, a mistake in terms of, if you go to dictionaries, you may not find it, but they use it in philosophy. Intellected, something which is, you use intellectualization on an object. Let's say this glass will become intellected when you intellectualize it. Known for knowledge. Known for knowledge.
So the same concept.
Yeah, ma'qul for aql. Known for knowledge is like ma'qul for aql. For ta'aql, sorry. Don't confuse me, Mas.
Intellected is ma'qul, I think.
Intellected is ma'qul. Intellect is aql, right? And aql is intellectual. In the depths of my heart, I feel intellectual does not give the same connotation, exactly the same connotation of aql. But it's a subject, right? We say, is it fa'il and maf'ul in English? Is subject and object? So it's subject and object. Okay? And the other thing is, please learn hayula. Do you remember I have said about hayula?
Yes.
What does it mean?
You said hayula,
ola. Yeah, but what does hayula mean?
I didn't
attempt to find an English word. There might be English word for it. I have got a dictionary, but I did not refer to it. Hayula is they say it is the, you are right to say that, Masume. It is the lowest of lows, but it's not the meaning of it. It's the state of it. Okay. Hayula is the state of lowest of lows in terms of awalim, when it comes to, in terms of dissension of wujud. Lowest of lows are called hayula. What does that mean? Means there is no actuality in it. It's all potentiality. So it does not exist in real external world. Hayula does not exist in external world. You cannot say this is hayula, because the moment you say you can show it, there is some actuality in it, because it exists outside. So it's a notion in which is, by intellect you can understand what it means. It's mere potentiality. Okay? Mere potentiality. So they saw also refer to, they say hayula ula as well, or hayula. And then mujarrad, you all know what is mujarrad, is disengage. And disengagement has different levels, the levels of disengagement from matter, disengagement from khiyal, disengagement from aql. We have, like, they call it mujarrad khiyali, mujarrad aqli, mujarrad tam. Right? You understand mujarrad, right?
Yeah.
So mujarrad khiyali means there is no matter. Mujarrad aqli means there is no khiyal in it. Mujarrad عقل means مجرد تام means there is no عقل, nothing. It's not an association even with عقل. That's called تام means complete, absolute. T-A-M-M, I will write it. Tam, T-A-L-F, Mim, and Tashdid on Mim. Yeah, from Tamam, exactly. Mujarrad Tam means most complete Mujarrad. And the other word is Huzur, which we all understand, right? Presence. So these are, I think, the words that we are going to use. So, Kull Mujarradin Aqilun. وكل عاقل مجرد means whatever is مجرد is عاقل. But here one should know what عاقل means.
Is that مجرد
تام؟ No, you should say كل مجرد. The more تجرد, the more عقل in it. Okay. So whatever is مجرد, it is عاقل. But we have not said what is عاقل itself. So you know what is the word. Aqal means intellectual, the way we said it. But what is involved in being aqal? What is the definition of aqal? We have not gone into it yet. So, kull mujarradan aqalun wa kull aqalin mujarradan. And whatever is intellectual is mujarrad too. Okay? So, Fatima, are we aqal or not? Human beings? No. I mean, do we have the ability of intellectualizing. So then we are mujarrad. Right? Isn't it? We are mujarrad.
To a level.
But we are mujarrad as well, aren't we? So we can say we are aqal too. So we have the ability of intellectualizing. Masalan, plants, they are not mujarrad. So they are not aqal. Right? An orange tree is not mujarrad. So it's not aqal. Right?
But it's like we can be. We have potential.
Who?
I mean.
We have the potentiality of to be aqal. Yes, you're right. So that's why. See, it was not. Remember, very important point. If it was not a potentiality, and it was we had actual ability of aqal, or it was actual in us, then it was we were not associated with matter. What brings that potentiality is the existence of matter. Matter makes potential. So in angels, they don't have matter, so they don't have potential. They are full aqal. They're absolutely intellectual beings. So understanding of insan as a whole has a lot to do with understanding of matter. Inshallah, probably we touch this. It has a lot of connotations in this ma'ad jismani, ma'ad ruhani, all of those things which we don't want to go into it. So kull aqil mujarrad and kull mujarrad aqilun is very obvious around us. When you look around in the nature, we can see that. So what about animals? Are they aqil or mujarrad? They're mujarrad and they're aqil too.
Yeah.
So how come they're mujarrad and they're not? What is alamat of that? On what basis you say they are mujarrad?
Because they're not fully matter.
What else are they?
They're not like tables.
No, what about plant also is not table, but it's not mujarrad. It's not mujarrad.
No, I mean like they have some movement in the
plants have moved some motions, is that?
Comparably,
yeah, comparably they are less. They have less motion and movement. But what I'm trying to understand from this conversation is what is the sign of tajarrud? What makes something mujarrad, in your opinion?
I think they cannot be aqal because they cannot make tajarrud. They cannot be disengaged from matter.
Animals.
Yes.
Okay. Alright, let's go. Let's look at some actions of animals. Then we realize. Do animals do comparison? Because comparison is a function of khiyal. And khiyal has a level of tajarrud, isn't it? خیال is مجرد of matter in a degree. So do animals do comparison? So that means they have some level of خیال. So that خیال means level of تجرد. So that is why this exactly is a sign that animals have the level of تجرد of خیال. So that is why they have وهم. Because when we know the, or we have said it in the past, وهم is a lower level of عقل or عقل ساقط. So in that matter, when you look at animals, you notice that they have a level of تجرد, which is تجرد خیالی or imaginal disengagement, and at the same time they have got also a level of عقل, which is عقل ساقط or عقل نازل, which is called وهم for them. وهم. Please understand this. وهم is nature of وهم is like عقل. Nature of وهم is عقل. Why? Because you can see apparently it does some very low level of deductions and drawing conclusions and those type of things, which is the highest level of animals. But what they cannot do, which human beings who can reach to تجرد of خیال or imaginal تجرد, they cannot do, and we can do, is they cannot reach to کلیات. They cannot understand کلیات. Universalities does not make sense to animals.
They cannot draw universal conclusions.
They cannot think. They cannot realize. For instance, that universal examples that, مثلاً, all the mothers love their children, whether human mother or animal mother, or So this is a universal conclusion. They cannot make this sort of universal conclusions, right? And wah. So this is what they have is wahm. So is wahm clear for us? Wahm, remember this in a different topic. Wahm, the mazhar of wahm, the sultan of wahm is shaitan. Remember that. If one wants to understand shaitan, must understand wahm. If we do not understand wahm, we do not understand shaitan. They're both the same thing. See, I want you, while repeating it, I want you to come out of that pictorial notion we have got from shaitan. Right? We are all associated with the pictorial notion of shaitan. No, shaitan, this is shaitan. This very thing that we talk about, wahm is about shaitan. But, and you also realize, without wahm, one cannot even live. Because wahm is always concerned with self.
Individual.
Ram cannot go to universal, cannot think about the rest of the people. So that means Ram is wajib, lazim for our life. So is shaitan lazim and wajib for our life. Isn't it? The only thing is, as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have made my shaitan Muslim. You have heard that. So that means it has come under the aql. So Ram is wajib, Ram is shaitan. And wahm is aql nazil, and wahm is must come under the saltanat and dominance of aql. Okay. Shaitan is sultan of wahm. No, sultan means king. King of wahm is, which I mean, one of the things that sultan does is orders.
About the shaitan, does it like another way? It can also mean that he
effectualizes
all his potentialities.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, but I would say when we go to, if we talk one day, inshallah, maybe in this talks or I don't know, about ismat and ma'sumiyat, then there is not such thing that he hasn't made them. They are born ma'sum, so it's already with them.
Yeah.
They're different from us. We have to go to the process of tafakkur and put and coming, bringing put from potentialities to actualities. They have a bit difference in the, in those issues.
So why did he say that I have made my shaitan?
Because we have me and you understand. I mean, no more people would understand that.
Well, he said that because the word Muslim means like submission. So maybe like made it Muslim means like submission to my aqal.
Islam, the meaning of Islam is submission. You can say that, but that is basically submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's more meant. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we learned that in philosophy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mujarrad tam, so he is aql mahz. Allah is mere intellect as well, because of his being absolute mujarrad. So let's see what is ta'rif and definition of aql. Definition of aql. When you go by what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, I just want one part, one small sentence of it, so it helps us at the moment. It says, Imam alayhi salam says, aql. So from here we are starting to go to the meaning of aql, apart from those other literal default meaning of the past. Jauharun darrak. Jauharun darrak. Jauhar means, we have spoken about Jauhar and Aras, yeah? You understand. What was the meaning of it? فَإِذَا فُوْجِدَ فِي الْخَارِجِ لَا وُجِدَ عَلَى الْمَوْزُوِ لَا وُجِدَ فِي الْمَوْزُوِ. When it is found outside, it is not found in something else. مثلا, the wall is Jauhar for the color. Color is aras because color goes on the wall, and you can always, you only see aras, you only see the color of the wall. You never see the wall itself, right? So that's the meaning of johar. And aras is ba'izah wujida fil kharij wujida fil mawzu. When it is found outside, it is found in something else. You cannot, like the paint, the color is aras, but you always find it on something. You not find it outside by itself. Okay? So,
what's this word? Wujida fil
kharij.
Ida wujida fil kharij,
wujida fil mawzu.
Mawzu. Wal ayn at the end? Mawzu.
Yeah. Okay? So, when it is found outside, it is in something. That's aras. When it is found outside means in external world, in reality, in the real world outside that we can see. When it is found outside, it is not in something. Like wall for the paint is itself is johar. Okay? So joharun darrak. Joharun darrak. Darrak comes from the word dark and understanding and perception, right? The words, these are from the same root. Idrak, dark, darrak, mudrik, mudrak. These are all the same root. Mudrik means the one who does dark. Mudrak means what is being perceived. Like, when I look at this and I do dark of this, I do idrak of this, this becomes mudrak. I am mudrik. Mudrik means I'm the subject of the words, verb of idrak. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Fatima, does it make sense?
Mudrik is the one who does the dark.
Dark, yeah. Okay, so Joharun Darrakun, because it's Mushaddad, Darrak, it gives intensity to dark. That means Agh is a Johar which has got very intense perception and understanding and Idrak. This is the part of definition of Aql.
Darak, dark in action.
Yeah,
dark. Aql does. That means, sorry, the perception does. Is it the meaning of Darak?
No, Darak means something which has intense understanding. That object is called Darak.
Is it not the process of understanding?
No. Darak is ism fa'il. Process of understanding is dark or idrak. Okay? But usually, I think this is in Arabic, if I'm because I've forgotten what we learned in school, is صفت مشبهه. صفت مشبهه. No. It is. صفت مشبهه means when intensity is given to a verb. مثلا you say فعال. That's action. فعال means when is you give intensity to add action.
It's called اسم مبالغه.
مبالغه. Okay, we learned it as مشبهه. Okay, مبالغه.
In my understanding is that something when you exaggerate.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah, that's exaggerating about. Not exaggerating, not having the meaning of false exaggeration, no. Because has also a negative connotation, which is because it's not real, but you only exaggerate it. So, we are talking about a lot of literature. Johharun darrakun. That is a johar, which is has got intensity of understanding and idrak. That's aql. Okay? And it says, I read it, but I don't go into it. Muhitun bil ashiya an jami' jahataha. We come back later at the end of the session to this. Arifun bishay qabl kawne. We'll come back to this. فهو علت للموجودات و نهایت المطالب. That's what Imam Ali alayhi salam says about aql. But the part that I want to use now, he says, johharun darrakun. So, aql, the minimum definition of aql is darrak. So something has got. See, aql itself is something which has understanding in intensity. Okay, so the more aql means the more tajarrud. These two goes side by side. The more tajarrud means the more aql, because the less tajarrud means less aql. The more tajarrud, the more aql. The more aql, the more idrak, right? The more knowledge. What is idrak? It's knowledge about something, right? No, they're very interrelated. Idrak is knowledge about something. So when something is aqil, has got self-conscious, he knows it itself well. Why us as human we can do idrak of our nafs, our own self? Because we are mujarrad and we are aqil, right? So that is why we do. We have knowledge of ourselves. Idrak is zat. We have idrak of our own zat. That's because. But when it comes, give you example. This is very important. I want to have all your soul with me. This is very important. When it comes to matter. Matter, because there is no level of tajarrud, there is no aql. Because there is no aql, there is no self-knowledge. This matter does not know itself. Okay? An important part of matter is, when you look at this mobile, this is matter. Because it has no tajarrud, it has no ta'aqqul or aql. Because it has no aql, it has no knowledge about itself. Okay? Masalan, when you look at this, make this in four parts in your khiyal. Imagine. Make it in four parts. Each part is not aware of the other part. Is it aware? In matter, this part is not aware of the other part. And this part, you make it in two, make it half. That one part of it. Make it in half. One half is not aware of the other half. And again, make that half. And continue this action of, in your khiyal, continue to infinitively. Divide it by two. You can do that, right? And each part is never aware of the other part. So in matter, there is not self-conscious, and there is not conscious about, let alone to be conscious and knowledge about other things. So this does not know anything about this. This does not know even about itself. Correct? Matter is not self-aware of anything, isn't it? So, this is probably why, I don't know, maybe in Arabic it would be the same. When it comes to matter, they call ab'ad, the dimensions, they call it ab'ad. Ab'ad comes from the word bu'd, right? Right? Word, you know, in Arabic, I want you to understand those, I mean, you people. Bu'd means dimension. Say, one bu'd. This is one dimension, another bu'd. Bu'd. But at the same time, bu'd means distance.
Ba'id. From ba'id.
Yeah, ba'id means very distant. Bod means distance. So when in matter we use the word abod, which is the plural of bod, dimensions, we are referring basically the zat of this word is referring to distance. So when things in alam comes to material level, they come to the word of distance. This part is distant from the other part. This part does not know anything about the other part, and that part does not know anything about the other part, and that.
Idrakwise.
It doesn't know anything, and they are not only idrakwise, they are also distant from each other. Whereas if you take this to khiyal, in level of khiyal, there is no distance.
They are connected.
Though they still have dimension, in khiyal dimension is there, but at least from the depths there is no distance. You know that in alam barzakh, they say 100 people can be in the same place. They have dimensions, but they all can be seen. So there is a level of closeness in khiyal. And when you go to aql, there is no dimension at all. So in aql, it's all universality and closeness and qurb. So qurb is in higher level. But when you come to alam, gradually you come down from aql, you come to khiyal, there is with bod or distance. When you come to matter, it becomes more distance. And when it comes to matter, it becomes unawareness of itself. When it's an issue of unawareness in material world, that is why alam madde is called alam wahshad, alam zulmat. These are all about the name that we have heard about material world. Alam wahshad, alam zulmat, alam jahl. Even alam jahl comes from this, because when it comes to the level of matter, it's pure jahl, unawareness, right? Ignorance, or I use jahl here in opposite of ilm. So because in material world there is no ilm, okay, why there is no ilm? Because it's distance. That means, see, never this part of mobile is hazir for this part of mobile. Because basically if you go to the meaning of ilm, ilm is about huzur. There is a very vast, important, very exciting topic, which I remember when I learned that for the first time. I mean, all my life has changed when I learned that meaning. When I learned the meaning of ilm, of the concept of Mullah Sadra, which his conclusion is, ilm is huzur. So maybe if we get time, probably, as a concept, I'll bring and explain it. In one of our classes 2 years ago, I remember I have spoken about it briefly. But so anyway, learn that ilm is huzur. How? Let's give some example to understand. Let's say in our nafs, there are 10 things that we know. Okay? Masala, in your nafs, you know me. You know Arif as well. Okay? And let's say it's very limited number of things that you know. It is very much, whenever you think about me, when I come to your mind, it's like you have got a torch and you put the torch on me, so I become light for you. So you're like, you're putting, in the darkness you put a torch on something, so you see me. Not when you're face to face with me, when we are even at your house. Then at that time you put the torch on Arifah, so you realize that you know Arifah. That Arifah comes to huzur. Arifah becomes hazir in your nafs. So the nafs of huzur is nafs of ilm. So basically the meaning of ilm, the meaning of knowledge, is when you make something available in your nafs. Naqsh of that things become available on your nafs. When you see this, what happens? This picture of this become hazir, so you get huzur to this mobile, right?
So because you have the knowledge of it becomes hazir.
Yeah, no, what I want to say, because you have huzur, you have the knowledge, or the other way around. Knowledge comes from huzur.
Or huzur comes from knowledge.
No, knowledge comes from huzur. Knowledge is that torch You put on something, that something becomes hazir in your nafs. Okay? If you have not seen this before, let's say you don't see this, I have not shown this to you yet. You don't have any, it's not hazir in your nafs. The moment you see it, it becomes hazir in your nafs. So that nafs of huzur, I shouldn't use the word nafs for you here. You get confused. That action of huzur in your nafs, make knowledge in you about it. You get the knowledge about it that is black, and it's like 5 inch by 10 inches. So these are the type of knowledge you're getting about it. So the more information comes of this on your nafs, comes hazir and present in your nafs, on your nafs, the more ill you get to this. So when you look at it from the material point of view, not from your point of view, this part is not hazir to this part because you're distance. That is why this part has no knowledge of this part. And this is all the story of material life. Material realm is this. Matter, level of matter or universe of matter is about bod, distance, is about adam huzur, is non-presence. Right? And then that is why there is no awareness, there is no knowledge. It is called vahshad, alam vahshad. It is called alam zulmat. Okay? Vahshad because it's not knowledge, not know nothing. Vahshad in that sense. No, because when you don't know anything, if you don't know anything, let's say you go to a place and you know nothing about that place, that's all. That's the type of vahshad, fear of not knowing anything. So in alam madde itself is called alam vahshad. I don't know if you have heard this before, Dr. Muhammad, or not. Have you heard alam vahshad for knowledge, alam madde? Okay, I have heard this, read this in some writings of, I can't remember in what. It is referred to as alam vahshad because it's absolute unawareness. One part does not know anything about the other part, and is non-presence and non-awareness and no knowledge. Okay, so
in this context, can we say that this alam vahshad is opposite of alam yaqin, because then you're aware?
Yes, you can say that, absolutely. Good. Yes. So the more from alam in from material level, then what starts, Qaws-e-Su'ud starts from the material level. What happens gradually, when you see, if you look around, gradually matter converts to plantic soul. We have discussed about soul, when how soul starts. So when matter starts in a matter, soul is created, soul is given, that's a little bit, the slightest exit from alam-e-bahshad. Because then the soul of plant knows about beside. That plantic soul knows about root, knows about leaf, knows about, but very little knowledge. So that is the start of idrak, the start of knowledge. Then when it comes to animal, there is more knowledge, there is more awareness, there is more idrak. So there is more nur. So if when that is called alam zulmat, zulmat means darkness. Because there is no awareness, nothing is aware of anything. In the whole material world, every centimeter of a particle is unaware of the adjoining particle or particle next to it. Okay? So this is absolute zulmat, this is absolute vahshat, this is absolute unawareness, this is absolute lack of knowledge. But gradually, when souls start to be created from plantic soul, awareness starts to come, closeness starts to come, and then it comes to animal, because there is a level of tajarrud, so khiyal is there. So they go out in animal, things start to go to higher level, to level of khiyal, which is more nur. The level of khiyal is more nurani. That's the level that you can do comparisons. You can say this is okay. This taste, this is, so it is orange. This taste this. So these are knowledge, and these are, you go closer to alam-e-bahdad, you go closer to alam, get closer to ilm, and because of that, so you are coming out of vahshad and zulmat of material level. Does it make sense? Yes.
Question. For they're particles. They don't have a dhrak in themselves. And they move along with each other because of the soul.
I said move around each other?
Yeah,
I said.
How they work together, like molecules.
Okay.
So that working together is not inherent in those particles.
No, okay, let's this is there comes a question that why we have got what you just said, molecules and atoms and electrons, how would they, are they aware or they're not aware? Then it comes the question, how over the years, thousands of years, these mines created, gold mine and I don't know, jewelries,
diamonds.
And diamonds and things. Well, how do they themselves have no idrak. They themselves have no soul, because that's why they're called matter. But they're all run by vilayat kulliye ilahiye. That is, an overall vilayat is working and make things work. But they themselves do not have individual souls. Did I answer the question? So why electrons are working? They are bond of vilayat ilahiye to make them work. Yeah. So basically, when two things are separate in material level, in the material level, things are always separate, so they have no huzur, so they have no ilm about each other. Right? And when things are separate and they have no ilm about themselves, as you see, objects in material level, they don't have even knowledge about they themselves, let alone having knowledge about what is next to them. When my mobile has no knowledge about itself, it does not have any knowledge of this table. This is really, we call it in Farsi, vahshanak. Vahshanak comes from the word vahshad, very scary. Very scary means nothing knows anything, knows anything about what is in surrounding, around itself. So, salawat, befasin salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So what happens when two material objects, they have no knowledge about themselves? But what about when it comes to a higher level object? Let's say angel, it comes to material level. Is it possible that the angel has, is it possible that something has knowledge about something, but the other thing has no knowledge about the counterpart? Is it possible that In existence, in universe, there are two things, you know, that there's a very, things is used in philosophical sense for anything. Think is for any object, human, animal, angel, for everything you call them thing. Okay? Shay'a, in Arabic, shay'a. So for two things, is it possible one thing be aware of the other thing and that thing do not be aware of this? So it would be working one way. Yeah, but yeah, how it happens?
Because they are coming from a level of tajarrud, and they're coming down to the level where there's no tajarrud.
I have just one thing I've thought about, that there has to be something encompassing the other thing, and that is how they could be limited in knowing the other.
Yeah, that's true. So that would be about the answer, that unless that thing, like say angel to humans, angel to animals. Angels, because they come from a higher universe, higher realm, which that higher realm is, because they are mujarrad mass, and mujarrad mass is what? Mujarrad is knowledge. Mujarrad is about knowledge, so they have knowledge about animal. But why animal doesn't have knowledge about the angel? Because he is in his own realm. But when it comes to human being, when human beings are able to gradually elevate in soul and get to a level of tajarrud, they can see angels too. So we have to reach the same level of idrak so that we can understand and we can both be aware of each other.
Okay, there's a distance between, I don't know if there's distance or not, but like, for example, Israfil and Jibril, they are two entities. Are they two entities?
You can say they are independent, but at the same time they are two sha'an of the same thing. Okay?
But you said that uh, in in Akul, things are connected. Things are together. So, thinking about that, that the level of Akul, something may be or may not be associated according to their own level. See, the lower level of intellect is not within the higher level. For example, if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, he is encompassing other angels, so they will be in him, but he will not be in them. Is that right understanding?
It's like, I mean, your eyes and ears for you.
Yeah.
You are not in your eyes, but your eyes is in you. That type of relationship.
But, oh yeah.
So, alam jismani or material level, material world is the world of these things. I want to stay in our mind. I keep repeating it because in the future we will see how they affect our understanding and worldview. Alam jismani is alam distance, is both is alam ghaibat too. Ghaibat, you understand ghaibat? Because there is no huzur. This part of mobile is ghaib from the other part. This part is higher from the other part. And is alam ghaibat, is alam wahshat, is alam ignorance, is alam zulmat, darkness. And the more you go higher from this, then you go towards nur. So, nur connotates huzur as well, doesn't it? Because when it comes to knowledge, knowledge is about nur. His knowledge is about huzur. Right? So if you take this connotation of, you have to think about this. I tell you, this part that I spoke today, you must ponder upon to get this really into your mind, so that you see the relationship of matter and zulmat and wahshat and distance and ghaibat. As opposed to, when you go higher awalim, you go out of it, you go to huzur, you go to ilm, you go to nur, you go to qurb. They're all going to when you go higher about it. And then you understand, probably you can think of, we're all ghaib to Imam Zaman alayhi salam. And he's hazir. We are ghaib. We call Imam Zaman ghaib. Whereas we are ghaib and he is hazir. He has huzur to all of us. But for him, for us, all of us, he is ghaib. Right? But the more we start to understand about Imams, the more we are able to bring them, we find huzur on them, even intellectually, not seeing them. I mean, as we have noticed, and I, alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. My heart feeling is, whenever, I mean, is sitting in my heart, when I see something, or when it comes to sighting something, I do not call that huzur anymore. I see that a very low level of huzur. Huzur is when you know someone by depths, in depths, when you know someone in his khiyal, when you know someone in intellectual level, then that is real huzur. So, we can see there could be gradually huzur to Imam Zaman alayhi salam without having to see him physically. When that huzur comes, then that qurb is attained. But of course, after intellectual level, then in wujudan and in existentially, that's something that you make shahud of. Not by eyes. Forget about these eyes. Does it make sense? So, shall we leave the rest for next session?
Can we learn all these things before?
Huh?
Can we learn all these things first?
Yeah, you be on this for until next week, inshallah. Then, Muhammad, all Muhammad, salawat.
Allahumma salli.